Thanks. Thanks very much for joining me this morning.
No problem.
Now, why exactly is herpes the virus of choice to combat and control the carp population?
Well, in this case, the koi herpes virus has a very specific response to carp. So it's reasonably sure that it won't spread to Australian native species because carp are very far removed from all of our Australian native freshwater species. But one has to bear in mind that, you know, you only have to cross a little bit of ocean to get to Asia, and this is where carp are, you know, originate from, and most of their freshwater fish species in that area are very closely related to carp and include various species of carp.
Mm. Well, it does seem a little bit more dangerous when you're looking at sort of introducing viruses and things like that. It's something which is in the waterways, which does have a link to the rest of the world. So you mentioned that it does have little risk to our own fish. Is there any sort of potential for the virus to mutate and develop and eventually end up infecting other sort of fish that we have in Australia, or even, I don't know, maybe people?
Yeah, well, certainly not people, but I mean, one lesson we've learned, I think, from any experiment we do on this kind of scale is that nature finds a way. And I would not personally be backing this in terms of, you know, ensuring or even guaranteeing that it won't mutate in some way, shape, or form. If you think about the number of fish that we're talking about, I mean, carp make up, you know, something like 80% of the biomass in most of our southern river systems nowadays, and the Murray River Darling system is basically a giant fishbowl just full of carp and virtually nothing else. Mm. If you go and introduce a virus into that sort of context where there are, you know, literally billions of individuals that may well be infected, I think we don't really have a good handle on what the probability of that thing mutating in some way, shape or form and possibly, you know, cross infecting other native fish.
Right. Certainly dire. The University of East Anglia, recently published a paper in the Nature Ecology and Evolution Journal last week on how this plan to release the koi herpes virus could cause catastrophic ecosystem crashes, and it's unlikely to really help keep the carp population in check over the long term anyway. How accurate do you think that their statement is? And if we do see problems with the herpes virus, how much damage could they cause, potentially?
Well, the first thing we have to realise is that if you're going to go out and rapidly kill 80% of the fish that are living in a stream or a river or a lake or what have you, that's going to be catastrophic. I mean, those animals are going to die, obviously, pretty quickly, and they will start to rot. And the amount of nutrients released into the water and the bacteria that's associated with that, ammonia and so on and so forth, it's going to be a massive impact on the quality of the water in any of those systems, even if it's flowing. And of course, Australian river systems aren't renowned for their super flowing, especially during the middle of summer in a drought. But you can imagine even just one rotting fish in a bowl is bad enough. But if you have tons and tons of these things rotting, then that's going to be catastrophic. So that, I mean, that is a serious problem. The other question is, how efficient this thing's going to be. I mean, if it does turn out to be super efficient and say it kills 95% of the carp in these systems, I guess the real question is, to what extent is that virus going to continue to work and maintain populations at low levels? One of the problems with carp is that they produce, you know, tens of thousands of eggs every time they spawn, each individual female. So their ability to come back from crashes is monumental. I mean, that's why they're such a successful species, is they can just pump out huge numbers of eggs. So, you know, let's say we achieve 95% death, it won't be long, you know, maybe a couple of years before we start to climb back up that ladder in terms of numbers. And I guess at this stage, we certainly don't know enough about how that sort of long-term virus-fish interaction will keep those stocks down. It may well not. I mean, it could be the ones that survive have some kind of resistance to the virus.
Mm. And we'll start getting a breed of koi which are all herpes resistant.
Yeah, quite. That would be, you know, totally bad. Of course, the other thing is that rivers are all connected to the ocean, and we have ships coming and going from ports and things like that. So you have to bear in mind that this is a listed disease. So if you find this disease, you have to contact the World Health Organization. If something like this managed to get out of Australia, which I think is entirely possible, and into Asia, then the results could be catastrophic, because huge numbers of people rely on carp as a primary source of fish. So it's important that we think about that too.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a bold decision for Australia to make when it does have the potential to damage food sources and ecosystems internationally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the carp at the moment do cause a lot of damage. I know the past little while, they've taken a huge toll on the ecosystem in these rivers. Weighing up the potential damage of introducing the herpes virus and if things go wrong versus the need for action to be taken about the carp, which is the lesser of two evils?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a big call. It's a bold person who takes this step. But, sometimes that's exactly what we need, because we have a massive problem in our freshwater ecosystems. And look, it's hard to know if carp are the true criminals. I mean, they probably do cause some sort of environmental damage, but it's most likely that the damage has already been done by us, and that carp are actually making the most of those poor conditions. So it's a combination of, poor water quality and environmental approaches on our own behalf, basically us abusing our freshwater systems, and carp coming in, making the most of that setup, and then also contributing on top of that. So, carp are a scapegoat to some extent, but realistically, we should probably be pointing the finger at ourselves in the first instance.
Bit of a chicken-egg situation, I suppose.
It is, very much so, yeah.
Who's the culprit? Well, yeah. I mean, looking beyond the herpes virus for dealing with these carp, are there any other alternative solutions to the virus? Perhaps, I don't know, even setting up a carp fish meat industry, or are there other things that we could do potentially to avoid using the herpes virus as a way to deal with this problem?
Yeah, so, I mean, people have been thinking about this for a really long time. A lot of people have sat around tables for many, many hours to think about how to best control carp numbers. The idea of setting up a fisheries is a good one. It's been tried. The reality is that the market, certainly in Australia, is not big enough. We could export to Europe and to Asia, but, it's been sort of tried on a small scale and it's never really taken off. So I think people have more or less given up on that. The question, of course, is that how long could you sustain that sort of level of harvesting for, and what sort of impact that might have on the broader ecosystem anyway? Fishing is very much a blind sport. So you put your net and your hooks and so on, and you catch everything. You don't just catch carp.
Mm.
They've tried all sorts of exclusion devices and things like that. And to date, none of those things have really worked, certainly not to a level that you would expect, have to have a decent impact on the huge numbers of carp that are in our system.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a problematic time. It sounds like, if anything, the solution that we need is a time machine. It sounds like that's about all that's going to be a surefire fix to the problem. Cullum, thanks very much for joining me to explore this issue and to give us some concrete answers on what, or well, semi-concrete answers at least, on what to expect.
Yes, no problem at all.
Cheers.